Okay, great. Hello, everybody. This is the Option Professor speaking here today. Again, I'm going to be going over different areas on the futures and the options as well, which is what the meeting here today is about. Of course, I have experience and knowledge in many, many other areas besides this, but I certainly have decades of experience in what we're going to talk about today. Now, you're going to be looking at an S&P chart there. I'm going to be discussing things that I'm working on my computer. As David says, I am in transit, so I'm not in my office. I don't have the equipment I normally do. After the broadcast, you'll be able to contact me or I'll be able to contact you, and we will be able to discuss more in detail what I'm looking at. But I'm going to give you some details on something today that happens, that happens quite often when the Fed has an announcement. And that is an opportunity to take advantage of what happens right after the Fed announcement. Now, again, what I use for technical indicators are the RSI and RSI divergence. I use moving averages, but I only use the ones that I use. I don't use other people's. You know, I have my own. And because, you know, there's many different moving averages out there. And so obviously they're not all created equal. And then also I work with reversion to the mean. So when things get way, way above or below what I consider to be the mean, which are my moving averages, I realize that there's a high probability of a reversion. So after decades of doing it, these are the three things that I like to focus on. Of course, there's other things I put into the soup, but these are the main ingredients. Of course, I'm familiar with the Fibonacci numbers. I'm aware of the Elliott wave cycles and all that, but I like to base things on momentum, which is the RSI, divergence, meaning that the RSI is diverging, telling you that the move is getting tired. And of course, reversion to the mean, meaning we're going to go back towards the moving averages. And of course, very important are the moving averages because they're based on price and time. They're not based on, subjective opinion. They're objective. So anyway, let me explain what happens here today. Today, we have the Fed announcement coming out at 2:00 and the market goes way down. Now, again, historically, when these meetings happen, after the first 30 minutes afterwards, you generally have a reversion back. So we saw a low point at 14:05 military time on the ESU, which is obviously the September contract. And we saw a low point being hit at 45.76 with an RSI at 39. Then about, looks like 10 minutes later, we have a new low being made, and we have an RSI that does not make a new low. And ergo, that seemed to be an indicator of an exhaustion. That's a good place to take your shot if you're a believer that it's going to revert back to the mean, because all the averages were up in the 45.90 area. We were trading down at 45.74. So how do you play that? Again, today what I'm talking about, again, is different types of trading activity as far as suitability and your risk tolerance. You got to talk to your own brokerage firm about this. I'm not recommending anything because I don't know all of you. I'm just telling you my opinion and my view. So again, that's where I got the buy signal down there in the 45.74 to 45.76 area. And then with the moving averages up in the 45.90 area, that was where the target would be. So it was a nice way to play it, either by buying a micro if you're playing it small, buying an E-mini if you're playing it larger, putting your stop underneath 45.70 and seeing if you got the reversion, which you did. Also, this is where people who do that zero-day trading, you know, in other words, options that expire either on Friday or even dailies. I don't know, you know, there's so many products out there. There could have been some that expire today, but at least the ones that expire Friday, if in fact you get down to 45.74 and you look at a 3-day option up at 45.80, that might have shrunk down quite a bit. And ergo, if you took a shot at it at 45.80, it went about $12 in the money, 12 points in the money on the move back to 45.92 on the E-mini. And I'm sure you would have got very good action, even though it was a very short-term option. Again, this is with risk capital and speculation. But again, this is why people take shots at the very short-term options. Because again, it's a way to get leverage, limited risk. If you buy a call, obviously fully paid. And if you buy them when they're losing all their, you know, time premium almost, and they certainly are losing any intrinsic if it goes out of the money, which this did, and that would bring the premium down pretty darn good. So again, you know, there's, and even today, when we were way up at 4610 on the E-mini, the moving averages, as I say, have been floating around the 4580, 4590 neighborhood all day long. So if you could have played that for a reversion to the mean as well, and you could have said to yourself, hey, listen, this thing looks a little tired. RSI went to 80 when we were at 4610. The next bar over has it down at 69. So you can see the RSI is rolling over pretty good. Next bar over had you down, moving down towards 63. So you see the RSI is losing altitude. The price is losing altitude. Now, if you're at 4610 and you took a short-term option at 4600, you also would have gone in the money about 25 points on that one as well. So you had two very good trading opportunities today, just using the concept of reversion to the mean, which is one of the concepts I use. So again, you got an RSI that's losing altitude and diverging. You've got the price being extended, so a reversion towards the mean makes some sense. You had some great news coming out as far as the Fed talk, and you had two very excellent trades up there, one on the sell side at 4,600 or change, and one on the buy side at 4,575 and change. And you had two nice swings. So again, that's why I like to use these indicators, not only on a longer-term basis, but on a short-term basis. And then if I want to use the short-term contracts, I'll use the short-term contract. But you've got to have your timing down because, again, once it comes back to the mean around 4580, 4590, you can see that it just churns around here. And that's not great opportunity when it's just in the churning mode. When it gets extended, 4610, 4600, extended 4574, that's where you're looking for your turn. That's where you're looking for your RSI divergence. That's where you're looking for your moving averages to give you an idea of what might, you know, where it might be attracted to. Sometimes moving averages are also called attractors by some people. Looking at, so that's basically what I saw today here on the S&P. And again, you know, when I am back in my office, I can email you a link to the indicators I watch, and you and I can go on the line. And that's what I do in our 1 hour teaching session is I go, hey, listen, here's how I play it. Here's what I see. Here's what I depend on. Now, maybe you have your own situation and you're really happy with it. This could be an enhancer to whatever you're doing, or maybe your system stinks and you're losing money and you're looking for a new methodology. This could be a replacement methodology because, again, I think it has some sound basis. Relative strength index, of course, definitely known as our momentum. And again, the RSI, I have my own opinion on how to work with it, which I get into in our 1 hour sessions. And basically, how the divergence works. People pretty don't really understand that too much. So I explain that. And then of course, the moving averages speak for themselves. I have four of them that I work with. And then, of course, the reversion to the mean, when you look at the charts that I have, you can see what reversion to the mean actually looks like. So, again, you put that all together, and if you want to use the E-mini, either the micro or the regular E-mini, or you want to use the short-term options because you want the leverage, you want the limited risk, and you want the ability to possibly see that premium expand dramatically if you're correct, or only lose the whatever the premium is if you're incorrect. And so you know what your risk is going in when you buy a limited risk option. You know when your expiration is. And then, of course, you know, because they have very little time left on them, that means, you know, they are going to trade pretty good as far as going into the money is concerned, because you're not going to have to fight a lot of time premium as you would if you bought more time. Definitely speculative, but that's what short-term trading is all about, isn't it? So again, that's something that happened today, and that's something next week when I'm back in the office, if you want to look at how I operate on this stuff and what I believe in, we'll have a better chance of showing you on that as well. You know, what I have been doing, while everyone has been jumping into NVIDIA and Microsoft and all that stuff, I've been dumping that kind of stuff because I think they're extended and I think they've come too far. Now, where have I rotated in the last month? I've rotated into the energy area. And again, I can explain why that was the case. just to give you a couple of things, we went into a little bit of the Halliburton type companies. And again, I'll give you an idea where the signal came on that in the last month. We basically saw Halliburton jump above our indicators last month when it got above about $30, $31. And it has basically been above our indicators all the way up. So that's been about a 20% move or so, even more than 20% move in a month. Not too shabby. And then, of course, we also were involved with Schlumberger. And Schlumberger gave us the signal to get into that down in the area of 47. And it's been rising ever since. And in the last month, we've gone from 47 to 58. So nothing to be ashamed of there. And we also were looking at Baker Hughes. And Baker Hughes, let's take a look at that. BKR. These are in the servicers, you know, and the servicers seem to be what might get some action here. Baker Hughes got us in there going at around $30, and it's gone all the way up to 36. No harm, no foul there. So we looked into the energy area, okay, because we want to be where the puck is going. And once the crude held that 67 to 65 area and then got back above 70, and now it went all the way to 80, you know, we're getting the indication of a potential turn. Now, I'll tell you something else that you guys can look up, because I've been telling people to do this. You look at the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index. That's GSCI. On my machine, the symbol is GDU. But all you got to do is find out what the symbol is on your system and look at the September contract and then go look at a long-term chart, because I like to look at what the big picture looks like. Now, here's the deal. The Goldman Sachs Commodity Index, I'm going to give you round numbers. About half of it is energy. The other half is mostly involved in grains and metals. Okay, so it gives you an idea that grains, metals, and energy are probably going up if this thing's going up. Now, this baby bottomed in a big historical low in April of 2020, and it bottomed at around 223. Okay, it goes from 223 in April of 2020, which is a huge historical low, and it ran all the way up to 850, which was below the high of 2008. Of around 878. And we thought it was very extended because you know where all the moving averages were when it was up at 850? They were down at 550. You know what I said about reversion to the mean? So we're not buying into the commodity complex at 850. We're looking for reversion to the mean. We're looking for oil to drop from $130. We're looking for gold to drop from 2075. We're looking for the soybeans to have a correction off 15 or wherever the heck it went to. This is exactly what happened, because that index has gone from 850 down to about 535. Now it's jumped up to 588. And our belief is that it hit a low point at that level here, which we're marking as a May. And the low was 522. That's a heck of a drop from 850, right? And now it's at 588. We think it's on the upswing, which I think is going to change the mood of many things going into August, September, October, which anybody who's older than 21 years old knows that those are very big months for the market. They are seasonal on some markets, and they tend to be very volatile in some markets. So we are heading into that time frame, and the commodities are back on the upswing. And where's oil? It jumped up to 80. Where's your gold? It's above 1950. Where's your grains? They just had a nice big spike because obviously the whole planet's on fire. Probably not a good environment for growing anything. And you've got the Russians bombing the ports where the grains come out. That can't be a tremendous positive either. So the bottom line is, and of course, the dollar lost some value. Now it's bounced back a little bit, but it's gone from 115 on the dollar index down to about 100. And it was looking like it was going to really collapse almost. Now it's stabilized. And the Fed, of course, helped that today by raising interest rates by 0.25%. But the point is that if we go into August, September, and October, and you're looking at above 80 on the crude, and you're looking at above 2,000 on the gold, and above $26 on the silver, and you're looking at the beans, you know, and the wheat and the corn also on the bicycle, and you see this index here, the Goldman Sachs index above 600, I think that the inflation that people think went way down last month simply because they had to take off a very high number from last year, and that obviously adjusted the inflation down quite a bit. That inflation could very easily spike back up again. Gasoline prices are up about 30% or so in the last month. This is not deflationary. And of course, housing prices are now moving back up. So, if you're looking for big deflation here, you might be disappointed. And the Fed is very data dependent. They're making it very clear that they are more than willing to hike rates further if the data shows that they are not getting a weakening inflation. And as far as wages are concerned, that UPS agreement with the Teamsters, that's guaranteeing higher wages in that sector with that company. And they say they're going right after Amazon next. So these wages may not fold like a lawn chair, like some people are thinking. And again, the Federal Reserve, the Treasury has got a boatload of supply of treasuries to bring to the market. And there is no debt ceiling until January of 2025. Add that quantitative tightening, which is $900 billion that the Fed is trying to get rid of off their balance sheet. And we are going to be flooded with supplies, which is probably going to put a weight on top of the bond market. And of course, those higher rates at some point have got to wear out the stock market at some point and the consumer at some point. But that point hasn't hit yet. And when it does hit, my moving averages will clearly tell us that. So we'll be in good shape. But a rotation lately into energy has been a winner. Metals, industrial, like Freeport-McMoRan has been, and Southern Copper have been a winner. Even 3M has gotten going pretty good lately. And some of the precious metal stocks had a little bit of a bounce. But the point being is that and then, of course, some of the fertilizer companies like Mosaic got a little bit of a bounce. So we'll have to see exactly how things pan out. But on the commodity sector, very positive. And of course, today, Mosaic's up again. That's something we got a buy signal on a month ago. So again, it's nice to get in there early, right? We got a buy signal there at $34. It's already at what, 40? So there's your 20% again in a month. Not too shabby. You want to rotate where the puck is going. And I think the things that I've just identified and we've talked about to people who we talked to a month ago, they're getting the fruit of our labor. And, some people are also looking at this healthcare area. But again, that's not on the future side. But I'm just trying to give you an idea here that some of these commodities may get on the bicycle. Particularly if this Goldman Sachs commodity index were to break above 600. Right now the first thing it had to do was get above 550, which it did, and now the next level is 600, and then above 600 it could get going pretty good. So let's keep an eye on all that, and let's go over some of the different futures as well. NASDAQ. Hold on a second here. Okay, give me one second if you would. All right. Okay, one second here. Yeah, on the, just looking at the QQQs, which obviously tracks the NASDAQ as well, and not on the futures, but on the other, that basically has had a little bit of a rollover here today. And again, what we see here on our monthly action is we had a high on the RSI on July 14th at 75. And we just made a big new high, and it's only 67. So we got a sell signal on the RSI here at 388 on the NASDAQ QQQ. So again, it has corrected pretty well off of that number. And again, it could be an indicator. If those numbers in August and September and October, if we're going to see a pickup in inflation, and they're going to have to reprice interest rates that are sticky and maybe higher than expected, again, that can have a repricing effect on stocks. And that is the time frame that if it was going to happen, that it may happen. So again, what we have been looking for, and we're not there yet, but we are looking for a potential major repricing in the S&P somewhere between 4,600 and 4,675. Between now and the end of August going into September. Right now we're trading in the futures around the 4,600 mark. So we'll have to see exactly how that works. We still obviously have got an uptrend going here. So again, before we would get in an idea that there could be a significant drop, and again, the attractors could be to 4450. It could be even as low as 4300 if it got serious. But you're going to have to turn the moving averages down because markets will not generally go very far with some of our averages pointing up, and they are pointing up. So again, we don't want to be premature on this, but we definitely have the yellow caution sign out because what? We think these interest rates are going to remain high, which will wear out the markets and wear out the valuations possibly, right? And again, the valuations are extended. The CAPE ratio valuations on stock, very high. In fact, it's above 30, which in the last 153 years has happened 6 times. And the times that it has happened, things did not turn out very well. So again, plenty of caution out there with the valuation. And again, but our, I'll give you just what our averages are at right now on the daily. 4560, big support, 4500 support, and then 4461. So you got 3 levels of support there that are moving up with the market at 4600. But again, you know, when you're at 4600 and you, and you know, some of your averages are at 4500 and 4460, you are getting a little bit away from them. And as far as the longer term charts, they are even further away. On my 5 year that I work, I look at it all different time frames. I look at time frames for the day. If I'm doing short term trading, I obviously am looking at the 1 day, 5 day, 1 month, but I'm still putting in perspective what the longer term picture is, because that'll give me an idea of what kind of potential there is. Now, right now, you know, a reversion to the mean on the longer term graphs takes you down to 4384, 4227. Okay. So there could be a significant drop coming if, again, we have to reprice stocks because yields, I mean, come on, you're almost at 5.5 on the T-bills again. And that's 5.5 with no risk. Now, that is a very attractive thing to some people. Again, we had a very big run up since October last year. So you had a 9 month, 1,100 point run in the S&P. That's nothing to sneeze at. You're within 200 points of the all-time high. If you recall, when we had the all-time high, interest rates were at about zero. And so now you're at a totally different interest rate environment. And the employment situation is quite strong. So that's what's keeping this thing going. But, you know, it seems to me that Powell is indicating he's expecting that unemployment thing to change and change in a negative way. And also the forecasts are for a slowing situation in this Q3. So we'll have to see if this Q3 does have a slowdown, and we'll have to see what the rest of earnings come out as. As you can see from Microsoft today, you know, when they do change the news on it, you can get a pretty big drop. Just to give you an idea on Microsoft real quick, our indicators and our stuff has got the, well, this move we had in July 14th took you up to 70 on the RSI. And then there was another one at 70, but a much higher price, 358. And then you make this big, big high up at 368 almost, and the RSI has hardly budged, and then it turned right over. So basically, a reversion to the mean was pretty obvious up there at 368, because once it hit 366, the RSI dropped from 75 to 67 very fast. And then the next bar, you know, takes you down into, you know, it starts dropping further. So, and again, all the moving averages on the monthly were down in the area of 340 and 346. So when you're up at 368, that's a reversion to the mean. Now, right now, if we got back above 340, that would be very positive. So keep an eye on Microsoft now, because if it got above 340, it might be indicating that this correction that we just saw might be coming to a short-term end. RSI, as we made this low here, you know, is turning up a little bit. But again, 340 would be a key number for us on a short-term basis on the Microsoft. Let's go through some of the different commodities, some of the different futures, and see if there's something there that we can discuss as far as that's concerned. The one that I tend to look at on the grain the most is the soybeans, because it seems to be the most volatile. And again, looking at that, it had a high point up here and this 1430, 1440 neighborhood, and the RSI is having a hard time getting through 63. What that tells us is that if we get above 63 and go in towards 70, you could go into an acceleration phase on the RSI and on the price. If we fail up here and it starts getting under 1410 and turn some of these short-term averages back down, then we could get a correction, because again, it does seem a little bit stalled on the RSI at 63 and a little bit stalled on the price between 1420 and 1440. Again, if we did get a pullback, the 1 year charts on this would be what? We've got the averages coming in at 1390, 1355, and 1320. So you got a correction potential that could be reasonably sizable if they start breaking underneath the $14 mark. So I have to keep a little bit on a look on that. And again, if it does start dropping sharply, and you were looking at options, again, if you don't start seeing that you might get a break here, you might look at some of the shorter term options, which wouldn't have as much time premium on them if you wanted to take a speculative position. But there's no real evidence of a turn just yet. On the RSI, 65 on the first rally up, and the second one, 67. So there's no real divergence to work with there. But again, it does seem on the monthly graph, if we were to break underneath that 1420, 1410, $14 mark and get this thing to roll over, you could see more of a correction. Again, the news is pretty bullish as far as some of the supplies are concerned. Turning towards crude oil, you know, again, we've had that one down pretty good as far as our call is concerned, because again, we thought the resistance was pretty pronounced up in the area of 70. Let's see what we had here. Hold on a second here. Yeah. We had resistance on our chart at around 75 bucks, 76 bucks. And so once we got above that, it really started to move. Actually, on our daily, the buy signal came in just on the break above 70. So this thing has a graph that is looking good, but it is getting a short term extended. We'll have to see if there's going to be a little bit of a pullback. But again, it is definitely on the upswing, just like the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index, right? Again, that is half of it is about energy. So that's the story there. Nat gas is another one. On the stock side, we look at RRC on that. And that is another one that we've been very, very happy with. And let's see here on the natural gas futures, what they look like. Because they went down to a giveaway price. I mean, we're telling them to get down to 190 and stuff like that on natural gas. I mean, was it going to go to free? Yeah, I mean, you know, it got down to... this is a September contract. Cash was even cheaper. So, this thing really turned into a little bit of a buy signal around in June at around 2.380. And again, it had a nice rally. And it does have some resistance here that it's had a hard time getting through. And that comes in right now at 289. So if it got above 289, again, that would get that thing going. So far, that that resistance, which is one of our moving averages that I could share with you next week, that thing has been like a ceiling on this thing since 5. So it's a very good moving average that has not been able to be penetrated. So if you're in natural gas, you want to keep an eye on that one. That's for sure. Unleaded gas is another thing, again, that has spiked up here a little bit. We'll have to see if that holds. And then turning to the U.S. dollar, see what that looks like. As far as the cash is concerned, it's at 101. And this got way away. Again, a reversion trade. You get down to 99, all the averages are up at 102, 103. So obviously, that's where it spikes back up to, getting back reversion to the mean. And we did have signals down there in the 99 area that was indicating that the RSI was obviously diverging and showing you that the selling was drying up. So again, we did see RSI drop down to 26, and then all of a sudden it jumps to 33. That's your idea that it might be turning. Once it gets above 40, that's your indication that the selling might be done. And that happened coming in at about 100. So from 100 to about almost 102, you had a pretty good buy signal based on the indicators that I use. Okay. And again, they're based on RSI divergence. They're based on the moving averages that I use, which are four of them. And it's based on reversion to the mean, which if you've been around more than a week, you understand that that happens quite a bit. Okay, so there's your US dollar. Again, lots of resistance on the US dollar between 102 and 103. So we'll have to see if it can get through that. Again, the Fed talk seems to be that, hey, we're hiking and we are not going to tell you what we're going to do in the next meeting. So if the data comes in strong, we're going to hike again. And if it comes in weak, we're not going to hike again. So what do you, your bet is, what do you think the data is going to be? I mean, you see, the movies are being, at 200 million, 300 million going to the movies. You can see the restaurants are all pretty packed still. You can see the traveling at the airport is packed. So people are still out there spending and their wages are pretty good. And the unemployment's 3.6. And you see the commodities are turning up. So if you want to step in front of that, go have at it. We're going to think that maybe these numbers might go back up again. So if that's the case, you can forget about that Fed cut and you can forget about easy money anytime soon. Of course, it's always something bizarre happening out of the blue. But, it does seem like the inflation doesn't want to go away that quickly. All right. Let's take a look at gold. And again, we've been very good on gold too, because we said this thing has nothing but trouble at around 2075. It has three high points up there, all of which had lower RSIs. First RSI back in 2020 was up at 83. The last two times we went up there, RSI was only at 60. That's a pretty big lag, and that's why you've had some pretty good correction. But the moving averages are rising, and as long as we stayed above 1800, 1850, it looks good. And you just had a pullback. So you've gone from 1600 up to 2075. You pull back to 1900. It holds. And now if it gets back above 1975, 2000, again, we're up there right now. So let's see how it can hold. But if it takes out, obviously, 2000 and then makes JP Morgan is on file saying they're looking for new highs in it in 2024. If things get cooking, they may not have to wait that long. So again, and that's a big company, who's talking positively about it, and others are as well. Again, if they are planning on doing any cuts of interest rates in 2024, again, that would probably be pretty bullish for the gold. Because anything that looks like easy money from this point on, with this kind of wages, with this kind of unemployment rate, with this kind of consumer spending going on, credit card usage, I mean, things get pretty hairy, and when things get hairy, people like to jump into the gold. So definitely monitor that, and let's see if it can overcome 2000 and overcome 2075, because that door could open. And then rather than 60 on the RSI, you start seeing 65, then you're going to get an acceleration phase quite possibly, and who knows exactly where that would be. I mean, they're getting, how much do they get for a pickup truck now, and how much are they getting for a house? I mean, the prices, again, the gold may not have adjusted entirely to the new world order as far as prices are concerned. Silver is the one you want to keep a little bit of an eye on, because it does have that industrial use with the battery use and all the rest of it. And if it gets above $26, it could really get going here. And so that has not had a big move up. And so that might have very large potential. Stay above 20, get above 25, 26. It's above 25 now. Get above 26, and you could see an acceleration phase. RSI on it right now is at 55. So again, sometimes it stalls out between 55 and 63, something in that neighborhood, and that's the high point. So if we can't get above that on RSI, and we can't get above 26, it could stall here. Conversely, if we can break through that 63 area or so on RSI, we break through 26.20, this thing could have a run, and the run could be rather significant. Certainly a 30 would not be off the table if it really got running. And then, of course, above there, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of resistance. So, again, the moving averages are under the market and rising again, and that's not a bad thing. So your silver and gold are two things to keep an eye on. Like I told you, we jumped on the train already with Freeport MacMoran and Southern Copper. They're doing very well. The actual price of copper... also could very well get going as well. Industrial metal, You've got infrastructure. You got China trying to fix their property and real estate area, you know, and maybe get some of those young guys to work. You know, there could be some good demand coming in here. That's, of course, helping the energy as well. And so a stimulus program out of China, it's going to get your gaming stocks going because they like to go to Macau. So you've got your Las Vegas Sands, your MGM Grand. You've got your Wynn locally here. You got your DraftKings and Penn Gaming. These people all seem to have a bid underneath them as we go into the football season coming up. And so here on the copper, where do you want to go? You want to get this thing above $4. And if you get above $4, this thing could start accelerating as well. And where are you on RSI? Again, you're at 50. So right now, the metals, the oil, the grains, they're having a rally. Will they have a extended rally? I think we need to see the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index above 600. And then you'd have to see some of these resistance zones that I'm discussing get taken out. And if that happens, believe me, the next time the Fed meets, they won't be talking about deflation if those things happen. Anything else that's going on out there is some of you trade the Treasury. And so I'm just going to give you the yield on the Treasury note. And the Treasury note is at 385. It's backing off a little bit. The big number on the Treasury, in our view, is staying above right now, staying above the area of 360. That's a big number for us, 360. So we're at 385, 25 basis points above it. Of course, if we break above 4, that's going to open the door for even 450. But right now, again, to keep the yields rising and in an uprising situation, staying above 350, 360 is important. Otherwise, there's a big gap underneath. And the yields, obviously, we're talking about reversion to the mean potential. You know, if they ever do start dropping the yields, you know, reversion to the mean can be anywhere between 250 and 3. So it could be quite a significant reversion to the mean if they ever break the back of the yield situation as we see it now. But again, keep your eye on 360, 350. Those are huge numbers as far as we're concerned, as far as interest rates are concerned. And so that's some of the different markets out there. Let me just go over here to my... So some of you are doing both futures and stock options, so I wanted to talk about it. Again, using the short-term option, you know, I have my own philosophy on it. Basically, if I see something in the short term, like the topping out of Microsoft, and I want to go short term, 1-2 weeks max, I'm going to look at a little bit in or a little bit out of the money. I'm generally not going to go with some deep out of the money situation, because if in fact that occurs, I mean, if you only get a minor move, if you're somewhat near the money, you can still get action on your option, right? But if you're way out of the money, boy, that option will go to zero. All that money will go to zero. You got no hope. So rather than getting greedy and going with too far out of the money, I try to go a little bit in, a little bit out of the money, particularly on the short-term options. So I get a good shot at least hopefully getting to even or making some good money. You still make very good money if you get a big drop, not the home run money that the deep out of the money buyer got, but he's also going to be a loser how many times out of 10. So again, it's all according, you know, what you're trying to do and what your belief is. Like, again, if I, you know, knew that we were going to drop from 368 to 335 or whatever, you know, then obviously you go further out of the money. And sometimes if you have that kind of feeling, again, you would go further out of the money, buy the cheapest ones for 50 cents, you know, get a whole bunch of them, have a nice position there that if you do get a hit, like we're seeing in Microsoft, you got a big payday. Just realize that that premium can and will go to zero very quickly if you're deep out of the money with a short-term option, because those things are going to go to dust if you're wrong even a little bit. In other words, if you go deep out and you only get a $5 move, guys who bought somewhere near the money, they're going to cash a ticket. You know, guys who are bought deep out of the money, they're going to get a bunch of sawdust. So again, from time to time, you know, nothing is the same. Nothing is one way only. From time to time, taking your shot might make some sense. But on a consistent basis, a little bit in the money, a little bit out of the money is my general idea on the strike. As far as coming out of the option, how do you come out of it? Well, if you bought many positions, you could come out of it in stages, right? If you bought 10 or 20 contracts, you obviously can come out piecemeal, sell 5, sell 6, sell 8, whatever. Or you could roll them down, which is where you get out of the one strike price. And if there are puts that are working, you go to a lower strike,
capture your cash, capture some profit, and maybe take some of your profit and go to the next level down and see if it's going to keep going. That's called rolling down your position. And the other way to do it is spread it. So if you sold, if you bought some puts on, say, Microsoft when it was up in the 360 area, and then it drops down to 350 or 340, you could sell the strike prices down at that level and create yourself a put spread where you get all your money and then some off of the sell side. And then you got a free look at the spread. And if it stays under the lower strike price, you could get almost the full fruition of the spread. And so that's another way to go. And then if it reverses on you, you will have taken your money plus the profit off, and you'll only lose the excess money that you put into the lower strike if, in fact, you roll it down like that. So, again, you know, there's a few different ways to go, and in this short format, it's hard for me to explain in detail. So that's why I have these one-hour sessions where we teach people what I know, which after four decades should be a lot more than most people know. And I explain, again, how to select the strike prices, how far out you might want to go, and then how do you roll them, and what do you do after you buy them? And what indicators can you use to give you an idea that you might be seeing a turning point? Again, so there's a whole bunch of things that go into the soup, but, you know, many people have a hard time understanding, you know, what strike price to choose, how far out to go, what if it starts going your way, what's your next move? You know, these kind of things. And also, of course, they have a hard time to figure out market direction. Again, I like the stuff that we use because, in my view, it is very tangible. You know, momentum is definitely a relative strength index indicator. And then, of course, how do you interpret it? You know, if it's above 50, what does it mean? If it's above 63, what does it mean? If it went to 80 and came back to 60, what does it mean? If it goes under 50, what does it mean? If it goes under 40, what does it mean? In our view, it means potential for an acceleration of the downside. After it accelerates to the downside and you see readings of 10, 15, 25, what does it mean if it gets back above 40? Again, sometimes that means that whatever is going on the downside is over for a while. So again, how do you interpret the information is just as important as the information itself. And a lot of people use moving averages. I am very confident in the ones that we use. In my view, I think they are outstanding. The RSI is very helpful. And then the reversion to the mean. I mean, go look at the charts and put a moving average up there and tell me you can't see on any chart, be it daily, month, daily, 5 day, 1 month, 1 year, 5 year, if you see reversions back towards the moving averages at some point. Again, my feeling when the market gets extended tremendously from the averages, it's not if it's going to revert, it's when. And that's how you're going to figure out. So if you know if it's probably going to happen, then you now need to have a mechanism. You need to have a methodology that tells you it is happening. Because just because something looks like it could revert to the mean, that does not give you the timing mechanism you need. Because things can be overbought and oversold for an extended period. And so that's why it's not just one thing that you can hang your hat on. Everybody wishes there's a simple, red or green answer to these things. You know, sometimes they're a little bit more involved. That's some of the stuff that we are looking at now as far as, you know, the turning points. I'm trying to look at some other markets here that might be interesting here to people. Let's take a look at... the price of coffee and sugar. Those are the soft ones. The soft commodities and lumber's at 519. It's down 7 today. That's one of the things that have helped the building industry quite a bit. You know, you've seen those home builders going nuts. Well, again, some of the raw materials they use got a lot cheaper. And of course, people who have mortgages at 2.75, they're not going to be selling their stock anytime soon. And so the bottom line is that's been very helpful. But looking at coffee again, you know, you see it's a little bit away from its averages here. And again, a reversion to the mean is possibly not off the table. Also, it's an agricultural product. So do you think it's going to be affected by this heat? It might. And that could be something because, again, you can see this thing has traded as high as 230 in the last year or so. And, the lowest it ever was around 150, 160, which is the neighborhood we're in now. So this could be interesting to see if it's going to possibly do a turnaround here. And I'm just going to try to see if I can see here some of the stuff that I've got here on the actual readings. I'll give you some numbers that you can hang your hat on as far as what we're seeing here. So let me just see coffee. Okay, one second here. Let me see if I can. Okay. Well, you can see from your graph that, the lows that were created here recently, I'm just trying to confirm if I can on my machine here. Again, when I'm back in the office next week, I will be able to work with you with the information right in front of me. That's KC. Okay, so I think it's October. Oops, KZ. There we go. Okay, so let me show you what I'm seeing on the coffee, because there could be an opportunity here. Again, it is an agricultural product. Okay, yeah. Okay, we basically came down to some major league support, and major league support to us is at 150. So you can see that it's gone down there a couple of times. 150 is a huge number. Actually, I'll give you the exact number. 153 is a very huge number to us right now. RSI has broken above 40 to 44 on the longer term graph, which could be an indication that the pullback might be ending. And then, of course, we do have on the shorter-term graphs, we've got a lot of action around 180, 175. So 10 or 15, and you can see they're the same numbers you can see on those lines up there. And then on the 1 year here, the 12 SMA that we look at here is at 158.94 and rising. So that would be an area, and 155 clearly is support, but we also said 153 is huge support. So again, you can see it's held to 153 by going down to 155 about how many times recently. And now again, at least the 12 SMA is turning up, and it's turned up to 158, 159. So there's a good line in the sand if it's going to keep going. On the 1 month, we've got, again, good support where it hit. This is a great time to take a shot at it here. When it hit 159.65, hit one of our moving averages to the penny. And then once it gets above our longer term average here, which is very important, that's at 161.43. So on a short term basis, you want this baby to stay above 161.43. Your RSI is at 63. So again, this is either where it's going to peter out, or it could get into that acceleration phase. And I would say that if we get above 165, you could be looking at that acceleration phase. So keep an eye on that on a short-term basis. It does look like it held support, which is very constructive. It got back above our longer-term exponential moving average, which is very important. And the RSI is at 62 almost, which is also important because, again, it could be on its way to accelerating to the upside. So, again, with a crop like this, you know, it could be a situation where there could be a squeeze coming out of Brazil. The weather down there gets hot. The soybeans have seen some action as well. So again, you know, some of these agricultural products may get going pretty good. I think, very frankly, we're coming into a period of time, like I told you, where these commodities have turned. I mean, there's no doubt they've turned. The question is are they going to keep going or not, right? And so there's no question the Goldman Sachs commodity index has turned. It's gone from 520 something up to 580 something. Okay, so it has turned. The question is can it get above another level, which is 600? Can it stay up here? And can the crude oil, which has jumped up to 80, can it maintain above some prices on crude? Because a lot of you guys might be looking at that. And I didn't really want to give you exact prices on that. So let me give you what we're seeing on crude. Okay, on our longer term stuff, you definitely want this crude to stay above 67.75. Okay, so that's your longer term line in the sand. On a shorter term basis, you want this thing to stay above 72.75. And on a shorter term basis, still, you are getting a bit extended. The averages are at 72 and 74, so you're up at 78. Could we pull back to 74, 76? We certainly could. And if it did, that would be a pretty good buying opportunity at the hold. So keep an eye in case we're going to get a little bit of a drop. We went from 60. The RSI has been making new highs. It just hit 80 with an RSI at 65. Again, sometimes that's where it stalls out, and then it has a pullback. Again, so that's possible. But if it gets above 80 and then RSI starts looking like 70, you know, it could accelerate pretty good. But again, right now, a pullback towards 74 or 76 wouldn't shock me at all. And again, the buy signal came at 70, so you already got 10 bucks in it. And then on a one-month basis, to give you an idea here, I got RSI at 76, then I got a new high, RSI at 66. That's a fade. Okay, so right now there's a little bit of a fade at 80, which is why you've dropped from 80 down towards 78. But it is holding on to an important average short term, and the important average comes in at about 78.59, and we are trading at 78.97. So if we were to break under 78.59, that would be indicating to us that that would open the door for that further correction that we talked about, 76.74. So let's see if it holds this number and see what happens. But again, it had a big run, so a pullback shouldn't shock anybody. Starts getting above 80, there's not a whole lot of resistance then, and you don't know, it could go into an acceleration phase. Again, the demand out of China is very big now, and they're stimulating. You've got a lot of supply going over there, and of course, the summer driving season is in full force, and we know that the gasoline prices are rising, so the demand is pretty strong. And again, the supply-demand situation seems like it's pretty darn tight. So we'll have to see again what happens here. Next week, I say I'll be back in my office, and I am inviting you guys to contact me and basically talk to me directly. Again, the website is Option, O-P-T-I-O-N, Professor, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R.com. Put your information in there, your phone number and stuff, and I'll call you back. Or you can call directly to the office, 702-873-8038. Again, 702-873-8038. It's a lot easier for you guys to make one call than me to make 100. So I suggest if you have a legitimate interest in learning how I operate and things that I think work, you just give me a call next week. So again, this is the Option Professor. Trying to give you a situation where when we have a meeting, I email over to you some PDF reports that are very helpful. I email over to you a link that shows you my technical indicators. And then we have a 1 hour teaching session where I go over all the different markets that you're interested in. You might have your own markets you want me to take a look at, and I can give you my opinion. We don't give any advice. That's your broker's job, because we don't know what your suitability is and your risk tolerance. But we can tell you what we think of things. And then basically in that meeting, you can ask questions about, well, how do you trade this option, or what would you do here, and how do you pick your strike prices? And again, if you want to do short-term options, how do you work those things? And after I'm in an option, what do I do next, and what are my choices? And I can give you my opinion based on, you know, decades of experience and quite a bit of expertise. We've traded millions of dollars worth of stocks, and we've traded thousands of option contracts. So, you know, it's not our first rodeo here. So I do invite you to contact me. And at that point next week, we can set up a time that's convenient for both of us, and we can get started on it. I will give you a short period of time where we can show you some examples of, how our indicators work. And I believe in these indicators quite a bit. And after decades, this has been my conclusion. Again, I'm very well aware of everything that's going on, but I do rely on these three basic indicators to help me figure out market direction, which obviously is key. So again, thank you very much for being here with us today. I'm going to wrap up here about a minute early to give you guys time to go over to the website, OPTION. Professor, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R.com, and put your information in. And if you want to leave a message for me, we have 24-hour messaging at 702-873-8038. And whether you're dealing on the options on some of these futures or options on the stock, you know, I certainly have quite a bit of product knowledge to share with you.